Back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
Hey, today is a fun day. We get to talk about college football. It's also a sad day because it's the last time that college football is really relevant. College football, unlike the NFL, is not a year-round discussion. Unlike Major League Baseball here.
Unless you're on Feinbaum's show.
That is true.
That's the only way. That's the only place.
Or anywhere down south. I get to know my stuff all year round because I have radio stations down south call me every month out of the year.
Yeah.
And they want to talk about Mizzou, and then they say, well, what'd you think about it? And just some little obscure
and recruit. You're right. One of my best buddies, Rob Fisher, people know him from being in this market, really carved out a great niche for himself in Memphis, and they're college football year-round.
Yeah.
But in our area, no.
That's right. No. I will force-feed it to you guys more than you'll want it, but it still will be seldom after today. We're not going to be talking a lot. You know, after the official signing day, if they get a few more, we'll talk to you then. Maybe we'll jump on if there's any more announcements. Usually they announce if they sign some sort of deal with a Power 5 team that they'll get a home-and-home 7 years from now. Things like that, or unfortunately, there's usually some sort of arrest and a guy won't be on the team. That will be the college football discussion moving forward when we've basically hit college football minimally once or twice a week, and when Mizzou was playing, oftentimes 3, 4, 5 times a week. Sad part of that, the NFL does own the offseason, though. The NBA has come to the point where it owns the offseason. NBA free agency has taken over. They even do it better than the NFL now. And I actually think Major League Baseball has gone the other direction. Major League Baseball, at one point, owned November, December, and then you could get into talking about, hey, spring training's right around, here's our team, what do you projected? Now, November, December, it is boring as hell. Nothing gets announced at all because nobody's signing anyone, and you just wait, and oftentimes the signings go into the season, so you've just wasted 3 months. Those three sports all have some of the offseason. The sport we're about to talk about barely owns the season they take, and that is the NHL. The NHL has got to figure out their marketing at some point. They just have no idea how to market themselves, and what I think could be a very compelling sport if they found a way to make games more like 4-3 instead of 1-0, and if they allowed fighting back, they could find some ways to tweak their sport and make it more exciting than it is right now. As is, we follow a team that is, I don't know, the third or fourth worst in the NHL, but guess what, baby? Binnington came up, and he's a second St. Louis goalie to ever pitch a shutout in his first start. How about that, Raymer?
It's really remarkable, and to the point where it's odd that it came in back-to-back games. So going in, you figure, okay, kid will get his shot, and then we'll come back home, and Jake will be in there, and then we just kind of, you know, back-to-back games. But he was so good, and Jake's been so bad that...
Give him the start.
Most people think so. Now, I haven't seen if... Has it been announced, Rock? Have you seen, are they going to Jake tonight?
Yes.
Yeah. So that is the... That would be the normal way you would do it.
Oh, yeah.
And for those who are outraged, I'm not outraged, maybe a little disappointed, but I think what you say is, this is the way we play it. We don't expect a guy to have to go back-to-back and carry the team like that. We have two goalies right now, and that's what we're going with. And I think it was your plan going in. Certainly you got a performance that you didn't expect, and probably rather than go Jake Allen tonight, and then again the very next game, maybe they'll alternate for a while. It'll be interesting to see how the Blues play with the goalies. A lot of people use, and this is a philosophical thing that applies to many of the sports, or just a general sports philosophy. A lot of folks want to say, play a goalie till he fails. And I suggest that that is absolutely the wrong way to go. Because if you play him to failure, then you failed.
That's right.
What you want to do is you want to keep him in a place mentally and physically where he's in his best. He has his best opportunity to be successful, and yes, that's what coaching is all about. Put your players in a position to succeed. And excuse me. So play a guy till he fails is wrong. Play a guy when he's hot and understand when that not so hot's ready to come. Give them a break, then get them right back in.
That's right.
That, and it's not a science; it's an art.
Yep.
And that's what coaches should be doing with players.
I think that is well put. Go ahead.
You know what was the most beautiful part about last night? Music to my ears, aside from the win.
And back to center ice. Here's O'Reilly now into Tarasenko. He comes in, shoots, he scores! Tarasenko! Well, the bomb is 12th of the year, and the Blues with a 2-0 lead.
And Chris Kerber, earlier today, on Frank Cusimano's show, a segment brought to you by Petromart, said...
He's got to use some of that strength and speed, and he did on the Philadelphia defense last night. He carried the puck wide. He drove it to the goal a couple of times. They're going to need more of that from him. That line, actually, with Shen, Schwartz, and Tarasenko last night was really good. They were active. I think they benefited with the seven defensemen approach that the Blues had last night because they saw more ice time, and they played really well because of it.
Tarasenko scoring. And that was John Kelly with a call on Fox Midwest. And Kerbs following that up, boys, this is a guy capable of going on a tear. Hopefully, good Lord willing, this is the start of a tear. They could really use him coming up big right now.
And it was big last night because Steen left with an upper body injury, didn't come back. They were already down a man because they dressed seven defensemen, and Barbashev was banged up. So when you had to have it, Shen stepped up against his old team. Granted, the Flyers suck, but you still got to go out there and win. The Blues have lost to teams that suck all season. And then Tarasenko went out, and coincidence would have it. That's the only team he hadn't scored against in the NHL. Comes out and delivers a bomb. So you had guys stepping up when you absolutely have to have them. And those two guys, we talk a lot about Tarasenko, but Shen was on a different level last year than he's been this year at any point in time. And if he can get back to that guy, mm-hmm. Tarasenko goes on a tear. O'Reilly continues to be who he is. And at some point, Jaden Schwartz figures out how to find the back of the net again. You're on to something.
A lot of ifs. But until dead and buried, I'll hang on them.
You weren't here at the end of the day yesterday. I sort of went into...
Mainly because you were.
I know. So, John, you probably similarly. Like, strategy, like, there's a part of our brain that we're like, all right, strategically, what is the best move here? You either have to make the playoffs, or you got to get your top 10 pick. And at this point, with how far down you are in the standings, the Blues are sitting at 40 games played, only got 38 points. That is... There is the Kings have 37. That's the only team worse than them. Ottawa has 35. Philly's got 36. So, but in the Western Division, you got one team worse. And your brain would say, all right, just lose. Just suck. But I'm telling you, when I watch a game, I root like hell for the Blues to win no matter what strategy says you should do. And I just cannot take it to cheer for the Blues to lose.
No. And really, it's logical. Because even if you... If you look at the game differential, which I continue to discuss, it's significant because technically the Blues are 7 points out of making the playoffs, which in theory doesn't sound like a lot because it's really, if we were doing it with baseball standings, they'd be 3.5 out with half the season to play.
Right.
You don't rule out anybody.
They have 4 or 5 games in hand, Rock. Do you know off the top of your head?
With a number of them. With two teams, they have at least 5 games in hand. Which is unbelievable. Go ahead.
I can name them for you real quick. The Blues have played the least amount of games in the entire Western Conference. They've only played 40. Chicago's played 45. Now, Minnesota, you're getting close there. They've only played 41. But Dallas has played 43. Colorado's played 42. You go over to the Pacific. Anaheim's played 43. Vancouver's played 45. San Jose's played 44. Edmonton, 42. So you have minimally 2 games on everybody who isn't the Wild.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're talking about being 7 out and you stretch those games, again, if the Blues go on a tear, I would logically, if the Blues just wanted to say finito, we're building for the future, starting now, and we're going to make a great haul with these two players.
Right.
And I still think they can get someone for Paterno. I wouldn't necessarily have a problem with it. But just as you said, I don't know if it's ever really healthy to just come out and say we're going to accept losing.
I agree. Because then not only do you have to rebuild your talent base as you make those deals, you have to rebuild a winning culture.
Yes.
And that's tough.
And off the ice, are you going to refund money from a bunch of companies and a bunch of people that either bought season tickets or bought tickets for February, bought tickets for March? One, expecting to
Blues
see.
Blues front office people listening to the show right now just got nauseous. Way
well, no,
to go.
What I'm saying is, I mean, seriously, if you're Pops and you bought tickets to take your kids to see Petrangelo and Tereschenko and Maroon and Swartz and, you know, your St. Louis Blues back in August, and all of a sudden you show up down there and two of those four are gone, and you're seeing guys in the lineup whose names you never heard of.
I think Blues fans, the hardcore Blues fans, if it's obvious that you're tanking, trading guys for value, looking to get to the future, isn't necessarily tanking, as long as you're getting an effort every night. And I think Blues fans would still appreciate an honest effort. They would understand we've got guys in contract years and value and, you know, get more space under the cap. I think Blues fans are educated enough to understand all those things. But if you just tank the tank, if you're not getting value back, that's when you start to lose your base.
And that's my concern is look at the five teams around the Blues towards the bottom of the league. And what's the game differential there?
For teams in the playoff mix?
No, teams okay. Right around the Blues, like two or three ahead of them,
yeah,
two or three behind them.
Los Angeles has played 44 games, so they got four games on them. Arizona's played 42. Edmonton's played 42. Vancouver, 45.
Go up to the east.
Ottawa has played 43. Detroit's played 44. Florida's played 40. And then in the Metropolitan, 42 for Philly, 41 for New Jersey, 41 for the Rangers.
So you got teams in and around them that have played, with the exception of one team, fewer games, some multiple games.
So you can stumble into points that they've already missed an opportunity. Yeah.
So when I'm talking about the Blues, if the Blues game plan is to truly trade off assets for the future with in mind landing theoretically a top five pick, they're really going to have to tank because you can't sort of depend on other teams to
lose. Yeah, you have to.
And if you're just a little bit better than bad, now all of a sudden
you're in no man's land.
You're in that
you're
dead
treading
zone
water
that everyone's
yeah.
worried about.
Five. You cannot finish in those five spots. You cannot be anywhere between 11 and, what is it, 16.
And more so than that, my argument has always been, even if you get in the playoffs, and I understand that's a lot of very important money for the organization, and that's a different argument. If we have to focus on that one, I understand. But if you take away that part of it, and you're looking at which is better for the future, making a first round of the playoffs and losing, or getting a top five draft pick, it's pretty easy which one's more important for the future.
Well, not necessarily if you actually believe in this team and think they need time to mesh, right? If you truly believe
these are
the guys.
Whole season next year to mesh, along with, you know, a top six forward.
That's true.
Coming into the building, that's really talented.
There are young guys on this. This is not a good argument. I don't subscribe to what I'm about to make the argument for. But if you do believe that there are enough young guys on this team still, Robert Thomas, that can take a huge step forward. He can be a glue guy. Parayko, who still has to come into his own, and we've seen parts of it.
Five hits last night, which was impressive.
That's more than he's had the whole last 3 years combined. And Edmondson, who's still a young guy at this point, right? And you have forwards who still have to figure it out, right? O'Reilly's been incredible. Does he have another level when he actually gets comfortable with these guys? Schwartz has not had a real goal since, like, November. You know, it's like there are a lot of guys, like, is there time to mesh? And if so, that everybody around the league, go read every article of previews for teams around the league that are talking about the Blues, and they're like, I don't know, this is a great group of guys, and I can't figure out why they suck. That's what everybody keeps saying. So if you subscribe to this is a good team that just has to figure it out, then making the playoffs should be better because you don't ever have to unload. Now, I don't believe anything I just said, but that's the argument. The other thing you can't do, to your point, Rammer, is this. Mark Cuban came out in February of last year and basically said, yeah, we're planning on tanking. We suck. We need a good pick. We're tanking. And the NBA fined him $600,000. And that is horrible for the league.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible for your team. It's horrible for your players. It's horrible for the psyche of your players who have to figure out now how to act. Like, they were told to go out there and suck. Don't win. We need to lose so we can go
get horrible.
Luka Doncic, right? Like, that's what you're looking at. That's horrible. It's terrible for every part. So you can't. Now, Tom Stillman would never allow that. The way you tank is what you're talking about, either trading guys away or benching the older guys in favor of the Jordan Kyrus and the Clint Costins and whoever else that you need to get experience and let them lose while taking strides.
That's exactly right. And I'll throw some names out of some guys who could lose some ice time in that second scenario. You know, guys like Maroon and Steen, who's hurt now, and Bozak maybe. And they're all okay, but those would be guys that would be losing time, I think, if they go that route. We'll see.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's a...
Or you could just put Bomeister on the ice for 40 minutes.
Hey, he scored the other day. That's more goals than Schwartz has had recently. So they do have guys that can take steps forward. Now, Cam Jansen will argue with you on this and say, you can't just bury a guy, putting him in the NHL too early and saying, go swim. You can't do that to a guy. That's what he tells you. I don't know if I totally agree with that, but I get the premise. And he's talking more minutes, I think. Don't just bring him up here and play him 8 minutes. If you're going to bring him up there, play him 15 and let him roll. And he's saying, especially you can't do that to a goalie, right? You can't bring Ville Husso up here and say, let's go, fella. Come on, earn your stripes. That doesn't work. And for a goalie, that makes more sense. You can get buried to the point. You let in 6 goals a night, good luck. You may not ever come back from that. But a Clem Costin, as soon as he's done playing for Russia, needs to be up with the big boys. And Jordan Kyrou needs to be up sooner than later. I don't think you have the money to buy out the Steen contract, but you got to figure something out there because he can't keep taking up ice time. And they're probably going to trade Pat Maroon. Jeremy Rutherford just had an article on this in The Athletic. The likelihood of that's been going around, and the likelihood seems more increasing as he was a healthy scratch just the other night.
I'm not so sure they couldn't get a respectable return for him. They might get a respectable return for him.
He needs a better system. They have gone from what was, you kind of said, like, dump and chase is not his system. And so he's always playing from behind in what they do now. And so the only place that he ends up being valuable is on the power play, and he's not scoring, but he's still valuable. He still takes up space. Mm-hmm. He's in the right area. But in a different system, he could be far more valuable than he is here. He just looks slow and out of position.
Which, again, gets us back to the age-old question, why? Why is Berube still the coach? Because no one's going to convince me.
Well, he's the interim guy.
Al Franken, that Berube's a long-term answer. So
I don't think anybody suggested that.
Well, now, hold on, though. But if you're going to make deals, aren't you making deals with the idea of having players fit into a system?
No, not in this particular case. I don't think so. Unless it's Doug Armstrong's system.
Well, see, that's my point. That's my point. Doug Armstrong. I mean, boys, if you go back, you can certainly question Doug Armstrong's resume. You could look at, you could open up that cachet file. And with the exception of 1 year, Doug Armstrong's has had a very sketchy pass taking teams to that final level. If Doug Armstrong's acquiring players to play Doug Armstrong hockey, and if Mike Yeo is any indication of what a Doug Armstrong coach is, hell's bells, Eunice.
Yeah, I might have an issue. That. Now, they have switched systems under Armstrong a couple times, too. And they've kind of gone back to the hitch system now with Berube. I'd be curious to see, under this scenario, I don't think you're acquiring, really, though. You're acquiring either draft picks or guys with easy contracts to get rid of to go get the guys that you need in the future.
You're getting young prospects available.
Yeah, maybe so. That wouldn't be my aim if I'm trying to unload some of these guys.
If there's a good young player out there to be had that you have control of for a long period of time, I have no problem taking them.
You know hockey better than I do. Aren't there guys that mostly just fit in whatever system? If it's a good young prospect and you say, look, he can skate. If we need to dump and chase, we go do it. If we're going to skate it with speed in the zone, he can do it.
Let me ask you this. When the Blues signed Pat Maroon, how much time did you spend talking about Pat Maroon fitting into the system?
I didn't spend any.
Okay. So, I mean, that's my point. I don't know what the system is. And if I don't know what the system is,
that's fair.
I don't know who they should be looking for or what they should be looking for. And that's my concern with Berube, is as you're making this move, who's going to be the coach? What does the coach want?
Yeah, you'd be very limited. Like, I think Ryan O'Reilly could play in most systems, but you're right.
If you're Tarasenko, well, okay, good. You can score.
Right.
You know, hop on. But which of the Blues' current prospects do they believe are legitimate factors? I mean, the Blues just never seem to really have it all together in times like this. And it comes back to bite them at some point. And I think right now, this team is in a very precarious position because what you're talking about is a pretty significant overall change.
You are.
And you don't know who's going to be leading that charge.
Joel Quenneville,
now,
baby.
Now, if it is Armstrong, as you suggest, Bob, if it is Armstrong, okay. I'd still like to know who Armstrong intends to lead this group, or at least get some hint. You know, nothing more, nothing less. Because I'm not getting the same players for Mike Tomlin as I'm getting for Sean McVay.
That's absolutely right. That's right.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not getting the same guys to play in Green Bay as I'm getting to play in Oakland.
No, that is totally fair. And that's what I said. You understand hockey better than I do, so I know football systems really, really matter, and one guy does not translate to the next, even in the wide receiver grouping. Good luck telling Julian Edelman to go line up somewhere in San Francisco in the old days, in the West Coast offense. Ain't happening. So that really, really matters. I don't know, and I do think Ryan O'Reilly could play anywhere. And so if it's a type
of... Oh, I'm sure there's guys that can.
Right. And so maybe that's the guys you have to target if you don't have that in mind. We're super late on a break.
I know. All I know is this topic has come up time and again over the last two decades. Don't fit the system. Just tell me what the system is. That's all I want to know.
That's a fair question. We got to go to break, Rock. Hurry up. It's the hard line.